الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قيل: ومن يأبى يا رسول الله؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن أصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. رسول سيد درود شريف، اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. My most honorable and respected elders, and our dear brothers and young friends, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah tabarakahu wa ta'ala has once again blessed us with a very beautiful and mubarak opportunity on the day of Jumu'ah to present ourselves in His presence, in His court, in His house. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we praise Allah rabbul alameen for this favor and ni'mah. One favor and ni'mah among the many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are all desirous of and we are all in need of is the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in our lives and the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And perhaps these few minutes that we have today, we will use as an opportunity to make dhikrun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to remember our beloved Master and our leader, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because this is such an act that in its very sense and in its very essence, it is an ibadah of a very high level, it is a very praiseworthy action, and it is an act that draws a person close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by virtue of that to Allah rabbul alameen. One of the most important topics that are discussed today, generally, we find that among the topics that are discussed, many solutions are provided. Ulama Ikram try to discuss and unpack the different subject matters that are affecting the Ummah. And in that way, we try to assess and evaluate our direction. And we look for the way forward. We look for solutions. We look for outcomes, and this is a process that should be an ongoing process. But when we look at it from a holistic perspective, then we find that all of these aspects, challenges, and areas of discussion stem from one principal subject matter, and that is the subject matter of the seerah. And therefore, to bring alive the seerah individually and collectively is one of the paramount challenges of the Ummah, and it is one of the greatest needs of the Ummah, because through the Sunnah, through the Seerah, through the study and the understanding of the model of the Sunnah and the Seerah, we will be able to find direction and we will be able to make progress, as I said, individually and collectively. All spiritual progress and all progress as far as our living conditions, our life, our social life, our economic life, and all other areas of our life are dependent on our ability to be able to understand the Sunnah and the Seerah, and our ability to be able to implement it and progress to it. So therefore we find in all eras, one of the focal subject matters among scholars used to always be to try to introduce the importance of learning of the Sunnah and the Seerah in the lives of people, because through this, individual elevation or success and progress takes place, and through this, societal progress also takes place. And if there is an absence of this learning, and there is a neglect of this type of learning and understanding, then what we do find that gradually that particular individual or society or community, or even the ummah as a whole, begins to retrogress, and it begins to be influenced by other models or other ways and other people of influence. So we find the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were the flag bearers of upholding the seerah and the sunnah. Just to understand the difference between seerah and sunnah, we have these two words. One is the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which can be understood as his biography, the events of his life, the approach of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in certain phases of his life, the specific intelligence that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use in his life in certain instances, and a very overall and principal overview of the life of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sunnah can be understood as the specific aspects of practice. That what the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did as specifics. What he did the moment he woke up, how he would conduct himself from the morning to the afternoon, from the afternoon to the evening, how he would divide his time, how he would allocate his, his engagements, and what he would do in terms of his life specifically. So this is the subtle difference between the sunnah and the seerah, and therefore we find at times there is a focus on one with a lack of focus on the other. So if we, for example, take the aspect of the sunnah, we will focus into it, we'll zoom into it, and people will want to practice the finer parts of the sunnah, which is great, important, and is a must. However, sometimes we might lose sight of the bigger picture, of the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now to understand where this comes from, the ardency for it, the yearning for it, the feeling for the sunnah and the practicing of the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to understand how the companions, who, as we said, they were the best example. They were the ones who were present. They were the ones who sat at the feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lived with him. They sat with him. They served him. They loved him. And everything they did was within that prism and within that paradigm, that how we could obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the best of our ability, and how we could earn his love and his companionship and become as close as possible to him. This was what their endeavor was, this was their passion, this was their desire, and this was they expressed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, a particular sahabi, companion, he was serving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was bringing his wudu water, etc. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely happy with this particular companion. His name now just slips my mind. But nonetheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him at a certain point, that ask for what you want. I am giving you an option to ask your heart's desire. Whatever you want, I will make dua and you will receive insha'Allah. Now we can imagine what an opportune moment. A person, whatever he desires, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa will make dua and it will be accepted. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, murafaqatuk. I want your companionship in Jannah. I want your company in the eternal life. And this is how the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum saw success, and they saw their lives in the mirror of the Akhirah and in the hereafter, because they understood that in this world we have the Sunnah, we have the Seerah, we have the companionship of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in the Akhirah we don't have that guarantee. And the Sahaba and the companions, they really believed this. Although they were the highest level of believers, but they did not consider themselves to have been guaranteed Jannah. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them an entitlement in the Quran al-Kareem, radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa radu an, that Allah is happy and pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this we can gauge the ardency, the feeling, the emotion, the understanding of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in terms of their relationship with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ayah which we have recited, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ has a very similar background to it. It is explained in the tafasir and in the commentary of Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, and he brings a narration from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that on one occasion a companion came into the service of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and he asked Rasul sallam a question. He told, "Ya Rasulullah, that you are dearer to me than my own life, you are dearer to me than my wife, you are dearer to me than my children, and you are dearer to me than everyone and anyone on the face of this earth. And when I am in my house, when I am at home, this thought comes to me, whenever I desire to come to you, to meet you, to see you, to greet you, I have this opportunity. I come away to the masjid and I'm able to meet you and I'm able to sit with you and greet you, etc. And this fulfills and satiates my emotional desire to be with you. However, this thought has now crossed my mind that in this world I have this privilege and this opportunity to be with you and to be in your companionship. But of course a time will come when, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you will depart from this world and I will also depart from this world. That will come to all of us. And I don't have any guarantee that I will enter Jannah firstly. And of course you will be in the highest stages of Jannah. And this will create a separation between me and you. And that's not something that I can bear and tolerate. That's not something that I can conceive. So at that point, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam remained silent, because the question the Sahabi was actually asking was, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will we enjoy your companionship in Jannah? Just as how we are here with you, we are able to meet you, greet you, visit you, see you, enjoy your countenance, will we be able to enjoy this in Jannah? So at that point, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam remained silent, and then the revelation came, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ, whosoever is obedient to Allah, وَالرَّسُولَ, and the Rasul, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهِ, then such people will be the ones who Allah will favor them. What Allah will favor them with? Allah will favor them with the company and the companionship and the visiting. أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. The first category of people that these people, the followers of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ardent lovers of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be able to interact with and see and visit in Jannah will be an-nabiyyin. Ma'an-nabiyyin. Was-siddiqeen. Siddiqeen, the commentators explained, refers to the Sahaba. They will also be able to visit and interact with the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was-shuhada, the martyrs. The highest rank to be attained after the rank of nubuwat, messengership, and the rank of sahabiyat, companionship, is the rank of shahadat and martyrdom. Was-saliheen, and also in the company and the companionship of the pious and the virtuous. And then the ayah goes on further to say, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. This is from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an honor, it is a privilege. It is a favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant to those who are the adherents and the lovers of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So upon hearing this, this companion was extremely happy. He became overjoyed. And Hazrat Abbas ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, that after the statement of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then recited this ayah and gave this glad tiding, and he told the Sahabi, Al-Mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Al-Mar'u ma'a man ahabba. That a man, a person will be with whosoever he loves, who his heart is inclined to, who he yearns for, who he has this ardent feelings for, of love and muhabbat and emulation and obedience, that is who a person will be with on the day of Qiyamah. So, Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that the companions were extremely happy. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, this was the greatest form of basharat that they had received and glad tidings they had received, that indeed those who follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and have the sincere love for them, they will be with them in Jannah. Or they will enjoy their companionship in Jannah. And the commentators explain that what will be this level of relationship. There's a lot of explanation as to how we will enjoy, or how will people who qualify enjoy this companionship, enjoy this visitation. In some ahadith it is mentioned that people on a certain strata or a level of Jannah will look up to the other people of Jannah and will be able to view them and see them. And they will meet them, they will greet them, they will interact with them. In some ahadith it is mentioned that the people from the upper levels will come down. The Anbiya, the messengers, the companions, they will come down and visit those who are at the lower level. And there are other narrations that make a mention that people from the lower levels will be allowed to go and visit those at the higher level. So there will be visitation that will take place. There will be this interaction, this meeting, this greeting, this continuity of this love and ardency that was established in this life and in this dunya. So we can see how important and how crucial this love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to us. And it is something that every believer yearns for. All of us desire this. All of us have this passion and intention. However, it is important, and we started off saying that we need to bring alive the seerah in our life. The practical implementation of it, the practical acquisition of it is important. Because we find that the factors of influence in our time, especially with technology and everything else that is happening around us, we find the factors of influence are very strong. And if a person does not take a positive position on a particular way or a particular path or a particular mindset, then he can become very easily influenced with the styles and the methodology and the ways and the influence of others. So therefore the companions and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were very particular about this. And one of the ways for us to begin to acquire this, the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the Hadith Sharif, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta, or the other hadith that the Messenger of Allah mentions, that the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, an-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a greater right and is more closer to each and every one of us than our own souls and our own selves. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also further mentioned that a person does not have perfect belief and complete belief until I become more beloved to him than his own self, than his own family, and his own close people. People who we regard to be close to us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has a greater right, and that love should be greater. Now a question arises that a person has family, we have feelings for people who are close to us, spouses, children, siblings, parents, etc. And the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seems to be a love which it's in a sense, it is something that is distant to acquire, because we have never met Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have never seen him. How can a person now be expected to have love for someone who he has never seen, he has never met, he has never interacted with? But we are asked to have the highest level of love for that individual. So this level of love is regarded to be a kasbi love. Kasbi meaning it is an acquired form of love. It is a love based on faith. It is a love based on yearning. It is a love based on practice. It is a love based on emulation. And it is a love based on obedience. And this type of love, my dear friends, can actually supersede and exceed the love that a person has even for his blood relationship. Like a person will have sometimes friends or brothers or siblings or other relatives. That is a relationship that is established, and it has rights and it has hukuk, and he has to fulfill that relationship. But there may be a person who may not be related to a person, but because of the like-mindedness of the relationship, because of the affinity between the two people, that friendship that has developed, these two people get along very closely and they become very close in their friendship. So the greatest friend and the greatest love and the greatest relationship that we are expected to acquire is none other than the relationship with our master Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this acquisition of this love is something that we got to spend our lifetime for. We got to give our life for this, because the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alim ajma'in demonstrated this in their life. There's countless examples that we can take from the seerah and from the books that are written. The shining example of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is always quoted and mentioned, that how he was sahib fil ghar and he was sahib fil mazar. What does this mean? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was on the hijrah with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know what a dangerous journey this was. Both their lives were in danger. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at some time, he would be in the front of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes he would be at the back, sometimes he would be on the right, sometimes he would be on the left. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "Oh Abu Bakr, why are you taking different positions?" And then he explained, "Oh Rasulullah, I have this fear that the enemy might sometimes come from the front, and the enemy might come from the back, or the right, or the left. Therefore, I move into these different positions to ensure your safety." This was the level of the love and the ardency that they had for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it came to the climbing of the mountain of Thor, they took refuge in the cave right up on that high mountain. When the legs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become tired, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who takes Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his back. During the night of Mi'raj, we found that the conveyance that was used to convey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the heavens was the Buraq. But on the night of Hijrah, the conveyance was the back of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Therefore, he is sahib fil ghar. He was the companion of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave on that night of Hijrah. And he is sahib fil mazar. He is the companion of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his visiting and resting place in Madinatul Munawwara. He has the singular honor of lying next to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. What a prestigious honor. What a universal achievement, and what a great honor and privilege it is to be lying next to the greatest of humanity, none other than our Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this level of ardency was displayed and demonstrated by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in many, many aspects of their life. And therefore, we, at this point, wherever we are, as far away from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we are, we have the same opportunity. And this is where the kasbi love comes in. This is where the acquired love comes in. That irrespective of where people are, how far they may be, and wherever they may be, every person has the opportunity to be able to gain this closeness and acquire this closeness to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it starts off with a concerted effort. And we are using this opportunity to remind ourselves, and to better ourselves, and to improve ourselves, and to acquire. That it starts off with a remembrance. It starts off with a consciousness. It starts off with a presence of mind. In salah, we come into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person makes takbir-e-ula, he is in the presence of Allah. And therefore, towards the end of salah, we find that we are asked to recite durood-e-Ibrahim. Because the salah is going to end. And when a person ends his salah, he comes out of the presence of Allah from salah. And the idea is, and the message is, and the requirement is, that a person enters into the presence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his mind. That now he's going to leave the masjid. Now he's going to go into the society. He's going to go into his business. He must keep the presence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his mind. Therefore, we recite durood Ibrahim. So, the remembrance of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is essential. And it starts with the recitation of durood and salam upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are multiple virtues as far as the recitation of durood. And this is a very important act, because it is actually a yardstick and it is a measure to our relationship with Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The amount of durood that a person reads in a day is a reflection of his closeness and proximity to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who read the most durood upon me. And the understanding is simple, that the more durood a person will read, the more presence of mind a person will create, the more a person strengthens his mindset as far as this aspect is concerned, the greater a person will be able to practice, and the more a person will practice and emulate the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the duruds that is particularly advised as far as the best durood to recite is durood Ibrahim. We should try to read durood Ibrahim at least 3 times a day or 10 times a day. One is we perform it and we recite it in our salah, that is in salah. But beyond that, we should make a point of reading durood Ibrahim, because it is the highest form of durood. And thereafter, to recite durood daily, to have a practice of reciting durood regularly, frequently. The ulama ikram advise the bare minimum that a person should try to read is 300 times a day. To create this mindset, to create the presence, to create the feeling and the yearning for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on a Friday, we should increase it beyond 300 to 500, 700, up to 1,000. There are certain ahadith that have special virtue for reciting 1,000 duruds. We can't go into the details of that. But the idea is to develop the practice, And when that practice is developed and it is embedded and it is brought into a person's life fully practically, then we will find thereafter to practice upon the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become easy, because there is a presence of mind. There is an understanding, there is a feeling, there is a yearning. And thereafter, to learn about the maqam of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to appreciate this relationship, to appreciate the bond, a person has to have an understanding of the position of a person. So the learning and the reading of the sunnah and the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very important. This is something also, unfortunately, is lacking in our lives. Recitation of the Quran al-Kareem is priority, and then the reading of the sunnah and the seerah. A lot of our ulama ikram and mashayikh advise that when a person does his recitation, his daily recitation of the Quran al-Kareem, he should keep a book of seerah together with the Quran also. If you read one page of the Quran al-Kareem, read one page of the sunnah and the seerah. So it complements the understanding of a person also. And a person enriches himself with the sunnah and the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another way of gaining affinity with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the various many avenues that a person can employ, is to learn the du'as of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are all ways, tributaries, channels, doors that a person can open for himself to enhance this relationship, to brighten this relationship, to strengthen this relationship. The du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are an expression of his inner feelings, his intimate requisitions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his fears, his desires, his achievements, his wants, what a person should really want, what a person should really ask for, what a person should seek protection from. We ourselves don't know what is good for us, but we have been taught and we have been shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that make these du'as, seek these supplications, and in this you will find your protection, you will find your prosperity, you will find goodness of heart, you will find fulfillment, you will find tarakki, progress, spirituality, all those ni'mats and bounties and things that we are seeking on a daily basis through our ibadah, we will find them through the beloved du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are just three practical points that we have mentioned among the many, many things that we should be learning and doing to try to bring and imbibe the sunnah and the seerah and bring the seerah alive in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through us bringing it individually and collectively, we will find this paradigm change in the ummah, in ourselves firstly. We will be able to uplift and elevate ourselves. We will find progress within our own spirituality. And if it is done collectively, within a family, within a community, within a society, then we will find the progress of that particular community, society and home also accordingly. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.